Welcome to Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petya Kolibova, that love coach who helps corporate women who have been pushed down and back due to traumatic relationship or childhood trauma in their past, which has caused them to see themselves not in a bright light that makes them people please and not show up the way they know they are capable of showing up. My mission is to help women who are on the path to heal from their past wounds, move through their limiting beliefs and internal blocks so they can guide other women through online coaching, which is that deep down what they are feeling they really want to do instead of sitting in their corporate job. Each week, I will be offering an interview or an idea that will support you to leave behind what isn't serving you anymore and create a life filled with freedom, abundance, and purpose. No more hiding, no more waiting. The time to take care of yourself, to uplevel your life, is now. Hello, hello, beautiful souls. Welcome to another episode of Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petya Kolibova, and I'm recording this one day before Christmas. So this is like selfish, like gift to myself, and I'm sharing it with you because my today's guest, Amanda O'Reilly, I was thinking like how to put her in a box. You know, no one of us likes it, but I'm like, oh my gosh, with everything she is doing, she's such a super human. It's not even like superwoman. She's like a superhuman. But the thing that I love, one of the things that I love about her the most, first of all, she's like a dog lover. So we're already like close, okay? Like I'm biased there. But second, she really helps people to untangle their story. And now you listen to unapologetically embody new levels of leadership and evolution. Like, hello, we are both like unapologetically standing in their power. So Amanda, thank you so much. It's such an honor to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It's my honor.
Beautiful. So before we start like diving deep, I want to ask you one question. So I asked you before we started recording, what is your favorite on this earth? And besides the ocean, which I completely agree with you, I can be there anytime too. But you mentioned South Africa. So now I want to take you just for a little bit. I want to take you back. I want to take you to that warm, beautiful weather. I want to take you there feeling that sunshine and you are on an afternoon walk after amazing lunch with friends and you're feeling so on purpose and so good. And as you're walking, just, you know, on a walk after in this beautiful sunny afternoon, there is a woman who walks up to you and she looks at you and she says, oh my gosh, you look so happy. Who are you? What is the one thing you want her to know about you, who you are? Not what you do, but who you really are.
That's a great question. And it's really, you know what, I am just figuring out who I want to be in my story. And that was actually what brought me to South Africa. So, you know, I just turned 47. So for 47 years, I mean, I've traveled all over the place, but never alone. And if somebody walked up to me and said, my God, you're just filled with so much joy and so much happiness. Who are you? I am love. And I think for the first time in my life, I can say that and I can own that and I can embody that, you know? And I really lead with love. And I think that that's what's wrong with the world is people are just too focused on, you know, everything that's wrong is available, but so is what's right, right? So I think that coming from that place and leading with love and leading with service, I really figured out who I wanted to be in my own story. And then I was able to embody that. And it's just changed my life, you know?
That's so beautiful because coming from place of love instead of fear and coming really from place of serving from the overflow, it's the best thing we can truly do for not only for ourselves, but especially for the world that it's wounded sometimes, you know, and that comes from place of fear. So I wonder, Amanda, and that's like the most beautiful answer you could ever, there's no right or wrong. It's really what's
absolutely
you.
but saying that you are love, it's like the ultimate goal, the ultimate achievement, the ultimate wish we can have, really feeling and embodying it. And, you know, I've been stalking you for quite a while. So I can truly say that you walk your talk, and that's why I'm like, the world needs to know more about you and really like see your light and the work you are doing, and not only with your clients, but also your jewelry. It's incredible. It's so meaningful. So I really would love to know, like, what led, and by the way, if you're 47, I want to be like you when I grow up, really.
Thank you.
Girl, you are like goals, check. You are an amazing human being, you know, and very often when we, and especially women in their 20s and 30s, when they're like starting to figure it out, who they are, when they're not people pleasing, when they're not, you know, still living in that victim mode and wounded story, when they are like, okay, I know I'm meant for more, I'm not sure what that more is, we look up to women who inspire us and we find ourselves comparing. Yeah, like, oh my gosh, she's more beautiful, she has it more together, she's a better family, she's traveling. So all of these things coming up. So can you please share a little bit of your story? Because very often when we look at the people we are admiring,
yeah,
there is a story behind what made them this radiant, what made them this strong. So if you can
100%. Yeah, so for me, listen, I was successful by all accounts of the recipe that I was given, right? I checked the boxes. You know, I had the house and the BMW and the, you know, the career and check. But I was miserable on the inside. I absolutely did not know who I wanted to be in my story. And the crazy part about it is I didn't know I had a choice, right? I didn't know that I got to decide. And so when I say, you know, I embody love, and I am love, that was never modeled to me, you know? And so growing up, it was, we are taught what to believe and we are taught how to behave, but we're not taught how to feel. Yes. Right. And so for me, it was really just figuring out, who do I want to be in this story? Because I was a chameleon and I was a master. I mean, I wore so many masks that I didn't even know who in the hell I was anymore outside of that, right? It was, I was addicted to the do of life because that's how I validated my worth. And so I was an overgiver. I was a people pleaser, which generally people pleasers are parent pleasers first, right? So I became this person that I, the more I could do for others, then I could finally feel worthy of love. And so I, you know, everybody has a story. And my story, I was raped at the age of 18 by a family member. And it was such shame for my family. My parents did not know how to process it because they're given the tools that they are given, right? It's a download from their parents. So it was, we're just going to bury it. And so for me, the message then became that I'm not worthy of love, that I'm broken, that I'm imperfect. And I had to hustle for my worth, right? And that was the programming that was downloaded into me, because really it's always a series of programs that are being downloaded. So for my whole life, I mean, that's who I was. I was the people pleaser. I was the overgiver. I was the chameleon. I would compare myself against other people. I wouldn't put myself out there. I played it safe, right? And I was just afraid to be unapologetically who I was created to be because I didn't even know who in the hell that was. And it's so hard to love other people unconditionally when you don't love yourself. And my mother always used to say growing up, oh, you know, you gotta fall in love. I thought that was such a crap. I don't know if you can swear on this podcast, but I thought that was such a load of crap until I finally understood what that meant. So these necklaces, they're called worthy wands. So Amanda actually means worthy of love.
Wow.
And so when I was born, I was born 3 weeks early. I had jaundice.
And it's 11:11, like at the moment when you said it. Wow.
So I was pulled out, and my parents said I was going to be named Kelly after my dad's dog. Thank God he lost that. He lost that bet. And I was named Amanda, which means worthy of love. And it took me, you know, 44 years to be able to claim that and own that. And I went through a whole sort of series. I like to call it eviction notice. I was evicted from life as I knew it, which, you know, is always a gift. We are never evicted, you know, from our identities unless there's a truer one for us to claim. And so when I kind of became aware of my unconscious patterns and the subconscious mind and energy, I was like, how did I miss that whole class? Like, how did I miss that, right? My world changed. And so that these were a download about a year and a half ago. And it doesn't matter who you are, age, race, religion, if you're, you know, a Hollywood actress or, you know, whatever you are, we all have the same common fear. And that is that if we're not enough, we won't be loved. And love is the oxygen of the soul, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we live in a $1 billion-a-day industry, which is designed to make us feel like if you get the lipstick, if you get the car, if you get the Rolex, if you get this, then you're going to finally be worthy. But that's, you know, that's outsourcing our own worthiness. And it's always an inside job. So I created an anchor. I created an antidote to the, you know, the playing the when then game. When I finally get, then I will be worthy. And it's now it's our birthright. So this is an anchor that I've created back to our birthright and back to our truth, which is we are enough because we are. And that's the way we were created. And so, yeah, they're changing lives all over the world, right? I'm so grateful and blessed. I get giddy when I hear the stories of, you know, that just keep rolling in. So.
Oh my gosh, Amanda, like you're talking and I'm like, for those who are watching us on YouTube, you can see my head nodding here. It's like the dog you have in a car that when you're driving, it's nodding the head. But yeah. I can so relate to so much of your story, like people pleasing, overdoing, and really being hustling. And that's why sometimes when I feel this like promoting the hustle and work hard, I was like, no, we don't need to work hard. I'm not saying that you get to like sit down and put your feet up and like the universe will like bring you everything. The thing is that we are working too hard, but we're not working hard because we are in love with what we are doing. We're working hard because we want to validate who we are. And we are out. It's so fascinating. A few days ago, I did a post about it, outsourcing your worthiness. So you so speak to my soul, because I know that just imagine the world if everyone would unapologetically stand in who they truly are and what we are and who we are. It's enough and love. And you don't need to be proving anyone. You don't need to be outsourcing it. You don't need to be validating it. You don't need to be pleasing anyone. This is me. This is who I am. I'm coming from a place of love, compassion. And if it doesn't resonate with you, great. There are like other 7 billion people, right?
Yeah.
How do you see that, Amanda? Like, you know, when you're in it, it's challenging to see it.
100%.
What is some of the practices that you can do to start seeing your worth and how to be really confident in your own being? Because if you say like, you're enough just because of who you are, if you would have told me 10 years ago, everything is within you. Like where? I feel empty.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really comes down to figuring out who you want to be in your story. Because, you know, the big buzzword today is manifestation. Well, you can never manifest any greater than what you believe that you are, right? So if you don't believe you're worthy of, you know, $1 million in the bank or, you know, the guy or the girl, you're never going to be able to attract that. And I think that this is the conditioning, you know, in the programming of when we were grown up. It's that you have to be something, right? Like you have to go to school and get the grades in order to go to that university in order to be a doctor. And it's backwards, right? So that comes from like a have, do, be model. Well, if you figure out who you want to be, then you know what you need to do, right? And that fosters the self-trust, that fosters the self-worth. Because you can never ever behave any greater than you feel, right? And we're all unique. And I think that that's that's the message, right? Like, we were born, everybody has a different fingerprint. We all have our own unique gifts. And so I think that if you can drop into that and just trust that why you are here is for a specific reason, and you can unlock somebody's, you know, gift or somebody's talent by just unapologetically owning. It's scary. It was scary for me to put my truth out there because I was so conditioned to hide and the shame and the fear and what are other people going to say? What are other people going to think? But if you can inspire one person by just truly showing up as yourself, like, what a gift that is.
Oh my goodness. Like, we never talked before. And I feel like you just read all of my journals. Like, I think there should be some kind of privacy because I'm like, dang, she's saying everything that I truly believe in and everything that I stand for. And I am doing really my best to walk my talk, to truly be unapologetically myself, because like you mentioned, by me embodying my truth and be myself, I'm giving permission others
100%
to do the same. And how selfish and unfair it is when we are wearing the masks, when we're the chameleon, when we are trying to change in every situation, every door we open, we walk in as a different person. People don't know what to do with us because we're not true to who we really are. And then we are not attracting who is meant for us. Like you mentioned,
100%.
Like, I really believe that we don't attract who we are, but who we believe we are. It's about the belief. So how can you start believe in those things that you are truly worthy of having it all? If, let's say, your whole life, you heard different, when you heard different, you start to believe different, and then you start attracting the different, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I think, I mean, really, it's as I said at the beginning, like, I think it's about dropping in and asking yourself, what do I need right now to feel worthy? What behaviors do I need to start exercising? Who do I need to unfollow? Who do I need to, you know, detoxify from my life? What do I need? Because we're not taught to ask that, and we're not taught to drop in and really just check in. We're taught what to believe. We're taught how to act. We're not taught how to feel and to connect. And it's complete disembodiment, right? So I think it's about asking. It's about giving yourself permission and saying, you know, what do I really need right now? I feel unworthy. What in my life is causing me to feel unworthy? Is it the relationships? Is it the people? Is it the stuff that I'm consuming? Is it the people that I'm following? Is it the clothes? What is it, right? And I think the biggest aha for me was the mean girl that lives in her head, or the, you know, the gremlin for guys. It's actually us. It's like you and you that's up there. So what if you believed a different thought? Or what if you turned the volume down on that thought and say, how is that serving me? Is it serving me? And is it even true? Right? Because oftentimes we keep telling these stories that totally make us feel, you know, awful, and they don't serve us. But we never stop and say, okay, whoa, is that even true? Is that the truth?
Oh my goodness.
Who taught me that?
Yes.
Do I even believe that? Right? Because when we're born, I like to use like the analogy of a computer. All these programs are downloaded into us, and we don't have free will. And like a computer, we trusted the source, and the source was our parents. So they downloaded all the programs into us that, you know, little girls need to be seen and not heard, and you need to be pretty. So these are all the conditioning, right? So it's like, oh my God, if I'm not pretty, if I'm not, you know, if I'm too loud, if I'm all these things, then I'm not going to be worthy, right? So it's to question, are there files, mental files, that are taking up space in your life? Are there things that are not serving you at the highest good? And if something makes you feel not good or sad, it's because it's not true.
Yeah.
Because source, God, the creator, the universe, whatever you want to say, they don't put us here to suffer. Right? We come here to be the best, highest versions of ourselves, to spread the love and to spread the light and to show people, hey, there's a better way forward. Yeah. Some people say, oh, it's woo-woo. It's science. Like, it's science, people. Like, energy is science. Yeah. And like attracts like. I mean, It's really what it comes down. And that, when I fully understood that, who am I being and what energetic vibration am I bringing to everything that I touch? I'll tell you what, I was like, I can't afford to have a negative thought. I can't afford. And it's not to say I don't have bad days, because we all do, but that's not my emotional home. I don't live there. Right. And I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
People are addicted to the suffering, or they're addicted to the bad, unworthy thoughts, or feeling not enough, because that's their identity. And they don't know who they are outside of those feelings.
Right? That's so powerful, Amanda. And I love, love, love asking that question too, because when something doesn't feel right, it's not right. And I ask myself, is it really truth? And if it's not true, where did I hear it the first time? Where did I start to believe that? And yeah, whose idea, whose thought, whose belief is this? And when did I get it? Because like you said, we don't come here to suffer and to fight and to hustle and to work hard. And no, we are here to be the highest version of ourselves and experience the joy. And it's so fulfilling.
And it's also to be expanders, because the thing is, with our mind, we need to see it to believe that it's possible for us. So if you can be the highest version of yourself and you can act as an expander for somebody else, like, what a gift.
Yes.
Right?
That's beautiful.
Because we actually need that. We need that. We need to know, oh my God, there's somebody that's doing it.
Yes.
So our mind, our subconscious mind goes, okay, well, it's possible. Because our mind is just a record of the past. And if you've never done it before, you don't think it's possible for you. But what if it was possible? What if you felt worthy? What if you felt enough? How would you show up? Right?
Oh my gosh, I'm obsessed with you. Absolutely, you gotta be preaching this every single day, and I know you do on your social media.
Yeah.
This is so much true, and sometimes we need to hear it from 100 different people, and thousands of times when it finally lands, clicks, and it's like, oh, okay. So now I know. So I love your energy, you know, like inside out. What is one of the things, like, what is a ritual that you would never skip, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter if you're traveling, if you're in South Africa, if you're on the ocean, what is a daily ritual that it's for you a must, that it's non-negotiable?
So I have a ritual every morning. I do pages before swipes. So whether it is I'm writing in my journal or I'm reading, but I do pages before swipes. So that's my time to dedicate to me, to fill up before I have to sort of give out. You know, we're in the line of work that we're both in where, we're always giving and it's so much energy going out that I really need to just fill up. So I have an overflow, and I was never taught how to do that. I was always taught to be in lack. And so that's one thing. It doesn't matter where I am, is that's my fill up, pages before swipes, because otherwise you're in reaction. Right? It's everybody else's emergency, what everybody else deems is more important than you. Right? So I sort of set my day, I set my tone, I set my intention, you know, who do I want to serve? How do I want to serve? How do I want to show up today? And so that grounds me.
Yeah. So believe in that. I remember when I used to, like, you know, 5 years ago, when I started my first business, social media marketing, what did I do? First thing, I wake up in the morning with my
grab my phone, grab my email,
making sure, waking up in the middle of the night, answering the comments, messages, emails from my clients, because they were worldwide. It was crazy. And no matter, like, I did a great money and I was so burned out. And I'm like, okay, so I love the corporate for this. I created a job for myself. And now it's like nonstop. I was so burned out and so confused, because I was thinking, like, this is it. I'm helping entrepreneurs to be seen, heard, and like really like create impact. And now I'm completely burned out. So now my morning routine, it's non-negotiable. It doesn't matter where I am. I read, I journal, I meditate, and it's slow. And when I ask my one-on-one clients, what makes the biggest difference in your life from the time we started to work together, they always start with, like, you gave me permission to give time to myself first.
Yeah.
And to not to rush. Like how crazy it is. Like we need the permission to give to ourselves first.
Yeah. I mean, but we're not taught that way, right? Like in school, we always are asking for mother, may I go to the bathroom? You know, mother, may I, can I go out with my friends? So we're always taught to seek permission outside of ourselves that we don't know how to sign our own permission slip. Wow. So it's so important to give ourselves the permission to, you know, whatever it might be. Right? I mean, there's a reason why on the airplane, it says the oxygen mask on you first. I mean, there's a reason, right? But most of us just, we don't follow that. We forget. Mm. I used to sleep with my phone in my room, same thing. And I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would scroll. It's like, what? Why?
So freeing. Like my phone now, it's always on do not disturb mode. I just have my favorites. And the only person who can get to me 24/7, it's my grandma. She's my baby. Yeah. She can text call me anytime. She doesn't do it anyway. But it's the only person who can get to me. And once I establish the boundaries, I also show other people what they can do. We got to be in integrity with what we are teaching. And
boundaries, it's true. That's the key to it too, right? Because boundaries foster self-trust and self-worth, right? If you don't have boundaries, you're not teaching people how to treat you. And you're not saying, hey, that, you know, that's not acceptable or that it, like, it's so paramount. Mm. I didn't even know what a boundary was when I, you know, started working with, I was like, what? You know what I mean? I'm like, well, they're going to not like me. They're going to, you know, they're going to be upset at me. And she's like, yeah. And
yeah,
like, oh,
you cannot say, I always say like, you cannot say the wrong people to the, you cannot say the wrong thing to the right people. I love you because of who you are. And I want you to be happy and fulfilled because when you are, then we can be vibing together. But if you are doing everything for me and you're exhausted, then like, I don't want to be around you, you know?
Yeah.
Those boundaries, it's super important.
Yeah.
I wonder, Amanda, do you have any last thoughts for women who are still struggling in owning their worth? What would be the one thing you really want them to know? Or do you?
Yeah, I mean, if I could let everybody know that they are enough just as they are, as unique as they are, and that they're worthy. I mean, I would, like, I literally take my necklace off and I put it around women's necks everywhere I go. If I see a sister or a woman that just is not in her worth, I will empower her. And I think that it's just, I really think it comes down to understanding who you want to be in your story. Like, you can never ever go all expert out on anybody else but you, right? We're so busy trying to be a carbon copy of our friends or this person on social media or perfect strangers. But what if you gave yourself permission to go all expert out on you? Right? And then I think it's to challenge, well, what makes you feel unworthy? Right? What are the behaviors that you are? Because I think that you need to bring awareness to what is it? What's the trigger? What's making you feel the way that you're feeling, that you have to compare yourself, or that, like, I think that it's an onion, right? And I think it's to start asking the questions. It's, who do you want to be in your story? Number one. And I think once you can figure that out and you can unapologetically own it, everything else, you're not going to violate your identity. You're not. So if you say, I am, you know, faithful, worthy, I am successful, you're not going to do things to contradict that identity. And you're not going to go against who you're being, right? So, I mean, I think the most powerful aspect of being alive is that we have a choice on how we want to feel.
Hmm.
And there always is another feeling, and there always is a better feeling. So if people want to feel, you know, worthy of the guy or worthy of the girl, it starts with who you are being. You can do all day long, but the who you are being as a result, you know, always determines the outcome. So, you know, I really feel that it really comes down to just sort of sitting down and saying, hey, you know, who do you want to be?
Oh my gosh.
Who do you want to be?
Powerful. I love that. It's
And like I said, I can be nodding here all day because it's everything you're saying, it's really overflowing from my heart and my soul too. And I'm so grateful for living in the same lifetime as you, because seeing you and how empowered and beautiful and loving you are, like you're such a bright light in so many people's lives. Thank and you. Especially women, like the things that you are showing to all of us that it's possible, it's inspiring. It's so inspiring because it gives us daily hope. So thank you so much. And
thank you for those
who are listening right now, Amanda, and they're like, okay, oh my gosh, this wasn't enough. I need more of this girl in my life. What is your favorite place online where can people find more about you, your journey, your mission, everything? Give us all.
Well, I'm pretty active on Instagram. So you can find me at, you know, amanda.o'reilly. And can we do something for your listeners? I know this is totally impromptu.
Yes.
Let's give some worthy ones away.
Aww. You're the sweetest.
So you figure out how you want to do it and you can, whatever you want to do, but let's give some worthy ones away to some really worthy listeners that just need a reminder and need an anchor, right?
Oh my gosh, I love it. So who wants this beautiful wordy one from this beautiful lady? I want you to take a screenshot on Instagram, tag Amanda O'Reilly and Petia Kolibova, and let us know why you want this wordy one. And we are going to pick with Amanda, one of you who can elevate their worthiness. Not that like you need it, but having that anchor, it's so powerful. Amanda, thank you so much for your generosity, not only with your time, but also with your really life work. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you.